We come today to Genesis chapter 32. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Jacob saw angels when he left home 20 years earlier, and here he meets more angels as he heads toward home. Jacob, he was one of God's people, and that's why the angels kept an eye on him. Verse 3, "And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom." Jacob is returning home to his brother Esau, who had sworn to kill him for deceiving him. And Jacob has to return home because God commanded him to do it. And so we see that Jacob provides us with a good example to follow. Obey the word of God, even when you feel intimidated, even when you are frightened. You know, God knows how hard it can be, and he appreciates it. Verse 4, "And he commanded them, saying, Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Your servant Jacob says, Thus have I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now." And so Jacob refers to himself as his brother's servant. Jacob has made his brother's life bad in the past, and his message here implies that he wants to please his brother from this point on. Verse 5, he says, "I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in your sight." In other words, Esau, I'm not returning to claim our father's inheritance that I took from you. I have plenty. Jacob doesn't want Esau to feel threatened by his return. Verse 6, "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to your brother Esau, and also he comes to meet you, and 400 men with him." And if I'm Jacob, I'm thinking, now's a real good time to pray. Jacob has extended his hand to Esau, and it looks like his brother refused to shake it. 7. "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands, and said, If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." No one enjoys fear, but it is a gift from God. Fear motivated Jacob to act prudently. Fear is designed to motivate us to do what is correct, to do what is holy, and to do what makes good sense. Sometimes we need a good dose of fear. Verse 9, it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is with sinners. Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, Return unto your country and to your kindred, and I will deal well with you." Jacob is reminding God that he is afraid because he is in the process of obeying him. I'm doing the right thing because you told me to do it, but I am afraid, God. Remember how you told me that you would bless me if I obeyed? I haven't forgot about that, Lord. I hope you haven't. Good to remind God of his promises when we pray. He doesn't need to hear it, but it's good for us to hear it again. Helps our faith. 10, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have showed unto your servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." Jacob knows that he isn't worthy of the least of God's blessings. In And the truth is, no one is worthy. 11. Deliver me, I pray you, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Let's read verse 12 right along with it. And you said, I will surely do you good and make your seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Again, Jacob says, I'm afraid, God. He may not have said that to anyone else. Kind of hard to admit to others that you're afraid, but he said it to God. And one of the great things about God is that he is understanding. We can be honest with him, and he won't get upset. He still likes us. 13. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau, his brother. Jacob prayed that all would go well, but he also prepared a gift for his brother. Jacob prayed as if success depended completely on God, and he worked as if it depended completely on him. 14. 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 cattle, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. You know, milk from camels was very popular back in those days. I guess it is, sweeter than cow's milk. 30 milk camels along with all the other livestock, that's a pretty impressive gift. If Esau wasn't wealthy before, he's going to be wealthy now. 16. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space between drove and drove. So when Jacob tells his servants to pass over before him, he means take the livestock over the river, and I will follow after a little while. 17. And he commanded the foremost, the men in the lead, saying, when Esau my brother meets you and asks you, saying, for whom do you work, and where are you going, and whose are these before you? Then you shall say, they be your servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us. Jacob is afraid, but he's through running. Jacob says, tell my brother I'm on my way. Unpleasant things we must do don't get any easier by putting them off. Putting it off probably just adds to the pressure. Delaying obedience to God is especially stressful. Verse 19. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. Instead of giving his brothers one gigantic gift, he breaks it down into five large gifts. Maybe he hopes that it'll do a better job of softening his brother's heart. Verse 20. And say ye moreover, behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me. And afterward, I will see his face. Peradventure, he will accept of me. The word appease means to cover or atone for sin. So Jacob hopes that his gifts will place a covering over his past sins against his brother. Verse 21. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them, meaning his family, and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And let's just stop there for a second. Jacob took his family and all his possessions across the river, which means there's no turning back now. If his brother attacks, there's no retreating, because there's a river behind you. You're not going anywhere. So he has decided to obey God, and he's in it for keeps. He made a commitment, and he burned the bridges behind him. And when we determine to obey God, it is wise to burn any bridges that would allow us to retreat back into disobedience, if it's possible. It's wise to eliminate any unrighteous options that we may have. 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Some things seem to happen at the most inopportune times, don't they? It would have been nice if Jacob could have spent this night in prayer, or maybe come up with a last-minute strategy for meeting with Esau. It probably would have been nice just to get some sleep if that was possible. But instead, some man comes into his camp and begins to wrestle Jacob. What in the world is this? 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not, and that's talking about the Lord, because that's who he's wrestling with. Evidently, a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Jesus Christ. So when he saw, the Lord saw, that he prevailed not against him, against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Dislocated joint, evidently. It had been a long, hard struggle for Jacob, and the last thing he needed was a painful, dislocated hip. But that's what he's got. 26. And he said, the Lord said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, Jacob said, I will not let you go except you bless me. Somewhere in this wrestling match, Jacob realized that this man was either an angel from God or God himself in a man's body. And once Jacob figured that out, he stopped wrestling and started clinging. And he refuses to let go until God blesses him. That's determination. 27. And he, the Lord, said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince have you power with God and with man, and have prevailed. Jacob's name meant deceiver. That's what Jacob means, deceiver. Israel means prince of God. The name change was not the blessing. It was symbolic of the blessing. It symbolized what God had done in Jacob's life. Jacob wanted a blessing. Well, God blessed him. Been a long, hard road, but God has used it, every bit of it, to transform Jacob from being a self-centered deceiver into a man who put God's will before his own. And I don't know if that's the type of blessing Jacob wanted, but that's the type he got, and it was the best thing in the world for him. Verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray you, your name. In verse 27, this stranger asked for Jacob's name. So here Jacob asked for the stranger's name, right? Look at this. And he said, wherefore is it that you do ask my name? Jacob is rebuked for being curious, and his request is denied. Jacob didn't need to ask that question of the Lord. He got his blessing, and that's good enough. You know, God draws a line in the sand that no Christian should cross, and that would be becoming too familiar with him. God loves us, God is our Father, but God is still God. 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, face of God, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob knew that God could have crushed him, but he didn't. 31. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up, and he halted upon his thigh. Jacob limped home. Every step Jacob took for the rest of his life was a reminder of the time he saw God and lived to talk about it. 32. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because He, that is the Lord, touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And so there you have it. Jacob is on his way to meet his brother. And he has prevailed with God. He has received a blessing because he's finally submitted himself to the will of the Lord completely. And God blessed him for that reason. Long, hard road to get Jacob to that place. It took tough times. But that's what it takes for us sometimes. Tough times. Tough times. Very tough times. And if you have a heart for God, you'll continually draw closer to him and continually repent until he has all of you and you're not holding anything back. And then he can really bless you. Thank God for his great love.